So the fellow that was here the first two sessions, he's left. His twin brother is here now. So, you know, this is, what's that? Yeah, I promise you, Mike, you got it, brother. That's it, man. You know, I married a twin. My wife is 4'9". She'd be a lot taller. She hadn't had to split the difference, you know. So, Well, let's take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel 22 with me. I want to share something that is very passionate out of my own heart for us as men. Ezekiel 22:30, you are very familiar with this passage. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Can you imagine the awesome position that would be to stand looking for someone who would stand between a holy God and the people of Israel? And to be that intercessor to say, hey, I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to stand for righteousness and be able, at the plan of God, to be able to say, I'm going to withstay my hand if I can just find a man. I believe, and there's argument about this, and I'm not, I hear preachers a lot of time say, I would argue for this. I get what they're saying, but I'm not in an argument. I want to give the truth. But there's been a lot of argument over, does this passage talk about intercession in reference to prayer? I believe it does. I believe there's a real picture here of, I believe, to be one of the greatest avenues of encouragement that we as men have. And it's the ministry of prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm still growing when it comes to the thing, this blessed privilege of prayer. You think about Stephen being stoned and how he had insight to stand in the gap and intercede for others, and as he prayed for those stoning him. You think of Paul, who prayed for the salvation of Israel in Romans chapter 10. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the master of example of standing in the gap and interceding, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He ever lives to make intercession for us. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 and 8 says, therefore I exhort first of all the supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, would you hear verse 8 of 1 Timothy 2? You ready? 1 Timothy 2, 8. I desire, therefore, that what's the next word? Anybody know? Men. The men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Just let that sink into your heart a moment. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says to Timothy, God is saying through Paul, I desire. This is the will of God. This is my will. This is what I want. I want men everywhere praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Two aspects of that. One, praise. The other, surrender. And let me just stop and mention something here. When it comes to praying, two things in particular. Prayer doesn't begin with our Father and Amen. prayer is your conversation with the Lord all day long. And furthermore, prayer, quite frankly, should be, I believe, more praise than petition. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with enter into his courts with thanksgiving, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. And over and over and over again. Look at David, they don't turn there, but Psalm 34, David is in one of the lowest times of his life. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And he begins to go into his petitions then. I've seen it over and over and over again. And if I did it here, this is not a negative, but I'm just saying, if I did it here, and I said, tell you what, let's go to prayer, and let's just praise God for who he is and what he has done. And that's all. Just praise. You would start, but in about 60 seconds, you're just going to automatically flow into petition. It's just it's what we do. Now, don't stay with me a minute. You know, it's just like, Father, I want to thank you that you are always present here, and thank you that you're among us, and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, help us to it's just, it's normal. I get that. But think about our conversation with the Lord throughout the day, and especially in the quiet times where we get alone with him. If we begin with praise and acknowledgement of who he is and thanking him for what he has done, you know what happens? Then what you're praying and your requests and your burdens, all of a sudden they get smaller in the view of how big is your God. And people need to be encouraged as to the greatness of God, not the bigness of their problems.
Right.
And why do we pray, God be with someone, when he said he would never leave me nor forsake me? He's everywhere I go. Listen, even as I mentioned the illustration a while ago of Sarah and her lifestyle, God was everywhere where Sarah was. It wasn't until Sarah repented and got right that now he's inside. But God is omnipresent, is he not? So I need to say, Lord, be with someone. He's already there. Are you ready for this? I don't have to say, God, my brother Dan's going through a rough time right now. Give him comfort. No, Lord, I want to thank you that although Dan's in a difficult day right now, I want to thank you that he has all the comfort that he needs. I'm just going to ask that Dan's heart will be turned toward you and he'll just receive what's already his. I want to thank you for that. Lord, I want to thank you that you're going to give Brother Brinson the knowledge to be able to lead us here. It's already in him. Christ is the head of the church. Lord, help Brother Brinson to just appropriate what he has by virtue of the leader that's already in him. And I want to thank you that you're going to enable him to do that. See the difference? Why are we asking God to give us something we already have? Just appropriate it. Go to the kitchen. Go to the kitchen and get the granola out of the jar. It's already there. And with thanksgiving, Lord, thank you. Lifting holy hands, God, I praise you. How marvelous you are. You see, we live in a world that we're so consumed with this nasty now and all that we're dwelling in, and it just overwhelms us. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it takes our praise out of us. And we as men ought to be the number one encouragers in our homes and in our ministries. So much so And I'm grateful. I'm standing here as a testimony of it. I'm grateful for all the years of women praying in churches. I mean, when you think about it, you call a prayer meeting a lot of times, you know, women are going to show up. They're going to have their women's, you know, prayer gatherings and whatever. I believe with all my heart, men ought to be the loudest singers in church. Men ought to be the number one prayers in church. Men ought to be leading the charge because I have God's word on it. Men everywhere. Okay, you're in the grocery, you're in Ingles, and that man's beside you. Can I pray with you? I'm hiking on the AT Wednesday with my buddy Rick Stoner from the Wilds, and we're coming down off of Hump Mountain, and this guy's coming toward us. I only share this as an illustration of what I'm trying to get to us. And he stops, and I moved over because he's coming up, so I'm going to move over so he can just keep his, you know, momentum. But he stopped. He said, "Would you mind taking a picture of me?" I said, "Sure." So he hands me his camera, stands out on this bluff, and he looks off in the distance, and he says, "All right, take my picture." So I took several for him. Well, then we engaged in conversation. He moved up to Jefferson City, Tennessee some years back after serving 25 years in Tampa Bay as a police officer. As we got to talking to him, I eventually said, "Well, sir," I said, "I hope more than anything that Christ is your life." He said, "If he was not my life, I would not be standing here." He said, "I answered a call one night as a police officer for an auto accident. It was my daughter killed in that car wreck." He said, "2 years ago, my grandson drowned in the pool behind their house." He said, "If it wasn't for the Christ in me giving me hope, I wouldn't be where I am right now." I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. You got to be going there on purpose to be where we were. I said, "Brother, can I pray for you?" And the three of us just gathered on the side of that mountain, and we just prayed and had thanked God for the comfort that He had given Barry in those dark days. Thanked Him for the grace that He appropriated during those days, and that even He could stand on that side of the mountain and share that story even 2 years later and give God glory. Men, I'm just going to tell you, the greatest encouragement that you can give anybody is to pray with them and for them. But in praying, be sure to praise God. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. And here's, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Would you please? Ephesians 1. It's an amazing thing that God in His wisdom and His sovereignty has chosen to use the prayers of people to accomplish His will. You know, even in that, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's really the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. But in that model prayer, He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And God uses you to accomplish His will. Do you realize, are you ready for this? Every prayer request in the will of God is already answered. Is He ever going to do anything out of His will? No. So every prayer request in His will is already answered. Why? What is prayer? Prayer is you coming to surrender to the Christ in you who always does the will of His Father, and He brings you into the flow of what He's wanting to accomplish because He uses you to answer prayer. Wow. I mean, we get prayer fatigue when we go, "Okay, God, I need this, I need this, I want to see this, would you do this, would you whatever?" And then we don't see it happen, and we go, "Well, why should I pray?" When the reality is that God in His goodness has given us this relationship of prayer with Him, because it's through prayer we come to learn the heart of God. "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way into Him, and bring it to pass." You see, my brother back here who just said, "Jeff, we've surrendered to the ministry." God put that in his heart. They just have surrendered to the will of God in him. And God is answering prayer, and they're just going to watch as they follow him, bring his will into connection with what they're doing, and God gets all the credit for it. See, God's not going to share his glory with anybody. So I want to just simply, oh Lord, today, I want to thank you for who and what you are. And wherever we go today, it be you, not me. You send me there and allow me to join you in your work at your invitation and your initiation. So prayer, I'm in an attitude, an atmosphere of talking to the Lord throughout the day. It's not, okay, I've had my prayer time. Okay, let me show you this. Look at Ephesians 1. Notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Can I just tell you right now, God can't bless you anymore, and he already has in Christ. You have everything. I'm complete in him. Just tap in. Just go to the granola jar. It's all there. Okay? You know, Lord bless so-and-so. No, Lord, I pray that my wife will come to understand all the blessings that she already has in you today. See, we act like we're just a bunch of lackers. Bunch of slackers and lackers. In Christ, I mean, first of all, in myself, you better believe it. But in Christ, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I have all. The Christian life and prayer, part of that is me coming to know what I already have in Jesus. See, here's the deal. God can't give you any more than he already has. His name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is directing you to who you have for the glory of God. Because when Christ is exalted, God is glorified. And so my prayer ministry of life is such, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now watch this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let me ask you a question. When do you come before, the most often, do you come before God in love? Prayer. It's prayer. Look at verse 5. As an adopted son, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. When do you most often come before God in love? In prayer, as an adopted son accepted in Christ. Therefore, I can infer that prayer is not simply something that I'm allowed to do as a Christian. Prayer is actually one of the purposes that God has called me out to be a child of his. I was, as you look at this verse, I was saved to pray. And whenever I come into God's presence to behold him, to worship him, to make request of him, I am arriving at one of the pinnacles of why he saved me. He saved me for relationship with him. And if I have all in Christ, then prayer is me coming as this mere supplicant to say, I have all of this. Oh Lord, now reveal that to me. Show me your path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, don't let me miss what you are and what you have for me today. Because it's not me trying to work up this Christian life. It's you living your life through me for your glory. Oh, I want you to just enable me to take the next step and be used of you as you live your life through me. See that? Does that make sense? It's a whole new world, I think, sometimes. Because we think that prayer is just asking, asking, asking. And yes, it is. But ask, and ye shall what? Receive. Seek, and ye shall knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, what are you going to find? What do you get when you open the door? Jesus. You get what He's given to you. Do you realize at the point of salvation, because of the work of Christ on the cross, you receive almost 40 things? You ought to study it sometimes. I'll just throw this little something in it. John 3:16. You know the verse very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have heaven. Is that what the verse says? But is that how we teach it? Have for years. Should not perish, but have what? The word is Zoe. It's the life of Christ. Shall not perish, but have Christ. If I don't have Jesus, I don't have heaven. And heaven is not gold streets and mansions. Heaven is Jesus. And when we are sharing the good news with people, it's not, hey, you get saved, you go to heaven. No. What happens at the point of salvation? The Trinity comes to live inside of you, John 14, 16 to 23. I can't explain it. But Christ, the Holy Spirit, Christ and the Father comes to dwell in us, to live their life out of us through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, when it comes to prayer, as a believer, my life is not made up of, oh, if I just had this, oh, Lord, help me to know your mind. Help me to take the next right step. And that happens as we come to know the Word. And that's why one of the greatest things of prayer is to pray Scripture. You always want to pray in the will of God? Pray the Word of God. It's an amazing thing. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm driving down the road and I'm talking to the Lord. Maybe a passage of Scripture comes to my mind. And for instance, you know, I'm praying for a preacher friend. I say, Lord, I want to thank you that I know Brother Brinson's going to preach the Word Sunday. But I'm just going to ask that that Word would just well up within his heart, and that it, when he preaches, that it would not be Brinson, but it would be Jesus in him. And I want to thank you, Lord, that it is not about him, but about you. And that the power that resides within him as he surrenders to it will do great and mighty works beyond our comprehension. Wow. That's a whole lot better than, Lord, bless the preacher today. Amen. Lord, bless Martha. Help Martha to have a good day. I have a question. What's a good day? Because we're always praying for it. Help me have a good day. What's a good day? You don't have to answer, but my point being is we're asking for something we don't even know what we're asking for. We think a good day is if everything goes good. But that plan is my plan, right? Okay, so the thing I want you to get here is this very thing of we have been made to be men of prayer. This is what, and here's the key thing. So who would you say, if I were to ask you, is the man of prayer? It's Jesus, right? There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who lives to intercede for us, who's standing or is seated for us, and we positionally are with him in heaven. Who is it? That's Jesus, right? Now, are you ready for this? Because the man of prayer dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit also as an intercessor lives in us, here we are. We do not have a prayer life. We have a life of prayer. See, as if I look at it as I walk up and I would say, Mike, tell me about your prayer life. Immediately, what comes to my mind is, well, I meet with the Lord every morning at 6 o'clock and I go through this list and when I say amen, then we're done and I'm on my way for the day. Sadly, I'm not saying this is Mike, I'm just using the name. That's how we look at prayer. As this little box of my time. And the rest of the day is mine. But because of Christ living in us, we have a life of prayer, because the life of prayer in the Spirit through Christ lives in us. And it is living in the atmosphere of who He is. I'm in communion with Him. We sing it in church. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own only between 6 and 7 in the morning. No. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'm tarrying with Him as I walk into the grocery store, as I go to the auto mechanic, as I go into my place of employment, whatever. By the way, who goes in with you when you go in there? Jesus does. And who wants to live His life out of you? Jesus. So tap in. It's through prayer. You talk to Him. See, we as men are constantly accused of being poor communicators. We'll even make jokes about it, and it's sad. But, you know, was it Foxworthy that said that women, men, you know, speak 300,000 words a day and men 10,000? I don't know what the number was, you know, whatever. Okay. You want to learn how to communicate? I'll say it in these words: learn to pray. Why do we not share our heart with our Heavenly Father? Don't you love, listen, if I'd have known grandparenting was as good as it is, I'd have had them first. My grandsons, they're 8 years old. And I'm going to tell you what, adopted at 3 months old, adopted at 2 years old, but they first got them when they were 3 months old. Saved out of a crack home, and all this other stuff. Those little boys, one of them's got cerebral palsy, high functioning, but he'll walk up to me and got that limp, you know, and he'll walk up to me and he'll go, "Hiya, Papa." He's got my heart, man. Shepherd comes over and sits on my lap. I say, "Shep, what's been going on today, man?" And we talk. I'm going to tell you what, man, you can't beat that. I will say this. Even yesterday, getting able to stop and have lunch with our oldest daughter, put my arm around her and kiss her on her forehead because she's the same height as my wife just about. That was precious. Men, can I tell you, one of the sweetest, encouraging things that you can do with your wife is to put your arm around her. She comes to you. She's struggling with something. She's hurting. Don't go into fix-it mode. You can take your wife to Niagara Falls. You can take your wife to Victoria Falls in Africa. You can go to Hawaii, but the most beautiful place you can go with your wife is the throne of grace. Put your arm around her and you say, "Hon, let's just pray about this right now." There's where you'll learn to communicate. You say, and I've had men come to me at church and say, "Preacher, please don't ever call on me to pray in public. I'm just afraid to pray in public." So in deference to him, I did not. But I said at a point or two, "But you don't have a problem talking to people in public, do you?" The reason why we struggle with communication is we have not learned to listen to the voice of God and communicate our heart to the God whose ears are always open to our cry, Psalm 34. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and saves him out of all of his troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us out of them all. Our children come to us. Dad, I'm struggling with my schoolwork or whatever. Okay, well, go get your books. Let me sit down and help you. No, time out. Men, pray everywhere, before him in love. Son, let's just pray about this first. What are you teaching that child? You're teaching them and encouraging them that before you make any decisions, you go to the Lord in prayer. You come to know His mind. Here at church, somebody comes to you and says, hey, we got an issue going on with our youth group, you know, or we got a problem in the missions thing or whatever. Okay, let's have a meeting and let's see if we can fix this. I want to share with you something here real quick. I'm grateful for a man named Keith Potts. I don't know how you do it here, so I'm free to say whatever. Because, and by the way, your pastor has not said anything to me ahead of time. Okay? So I'm thankful because I can just say what I believe the Lord wants me to share with you. But I can remember when Keith was deacon chairman. We would be making a decision about something. And Keith would say, all right, let's go around the room and every man pray about this decision. So we'd go around the room and every man would pray out loud. And then Keith would look at each one of us and he'd say, what did God say to you while you were praying? What did God say to you when you were praying? What did God say to you? And there were times when I remember one guy in particular, he said, you know, he said, God didn't say anything to me. He said, I don't know what the mind of God is on this. Keith said, after everybody shared, he goes, well, he said, I believe the Lord is saying to us, wait. Let's just wait. Because we're going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. And you know something? One man stopping kept us many times from going contrary to the will of God. Because we believed that God was going to reveal to us, His men, what He wanted through prayer. As we connected with Him in prayer. And what it taught all of us was, we're not there to make decisions. We are there to hear the voice of God and respond to the Christ in us. Because it's not our ministry or our vision. It's His. Wow. I'll never forget that. And we've tried to practice that. And even before Denise went downstairs a while ago, I stopped right here, put my arm around her, and had prayer with her before she went downstairs to teach. People, you come into church, and again, you say, how you doing? And somebody says, I've got cancer. I just found out, Well, I want you to know my uncle had that same cancer, and I'm blah, blah, blah. Are you with me? What encouragement is that to that person? To put courage in somebody's heart is to take them to the throne of grace. There you see mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Men, we need to be men of prayer. And the man of prayer lives in us, and we do not have a prayer life, we have a life of prayer. So many things I would, just from my own heart, I'll end it here. When you go to Luke 11, you do not find the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to preach. You don't find Jesus, or find the disciples asking Jesus how to lead. You don't find them asking how to start this church age or whatever. What did they ask? Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray. But to pray. It's a big difference. See, if Jesus would have taught them how to pray, He gives them this model. But if He then says, okay, here you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know what? I promise you to this very day, every one of us would do those five things and go, I prayed. Prayer is the declaration of your dependence upon God. And there's not a moment in our life that we don't need Him. And therefore, there's not a moment in our life we ought to be in communion with Him. That doesn't mean that we're driving down the road, okay, pray without ceasing. But our heart is such in an attitude that we want to commune with Him. That's our default is not me as a man fix it. My default is men ought everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Well, I wonder if He's going to come through this time. Because if every prayer request is already answered in the will of God, Lord, I just want to get in the flow. I want to know what You're wanting to do. I want Your mind on this. Because Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose what? Mind is stayed on Him, Thee. Those disciples, they had seen John the Baptist pray. They had seen the disciples of John the Baptist pray because they'd watched John the Baptist. And they had then seen Jesus pray. At His baptism, they'd seen Jesus pray. They had seen, and this was His cycle. And so I promise you at this very moment, I'm going to quit right here because this is my heart right here. And that is, they had seen Jesus in this cycle of dealing with people, the crowd, and then He would go to the mountain. Then the crowd, and I'll make it this way, ministry, family, work. Then He would go to the mountain and He would pray. If you built a new house, you would say, you know, I want 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms. I want a garage. I want this and whatever. Do you have a place where you go and meet with the Lord on a regular basis? All of us have been touched at some point by the ministry of Rand Hummel, either directly or indirectly. His house at the Wilds in North Carolina, down in the basement, he specifically turned a portion of that basement into the place where he would go and meet with God. He had his music, he had his wood, he had his stove, he had everything. And he'd start a fire in those cold mornings and he would meet with the Lord. He goes to New Hampshire to work up there as the camp director. Go into the basement of his house in New Hampshire, same thing. Periodically, over the years, and I need to do it again, it's time. Throw my pack on my back, get my Bible, my journal, and a songbook. And I get on the trail, and I go get away, and just go spend time on the mountain with Jesus. It's one of the greatest things you can do for your spouse, for your ministry here. It's an amazing thing. Why in the world we think we can make things operate when we live contrary to the life of Jesus in us? Because here's the deal. 3 times in John 5 and John 8, Jesus makes this statement, I do nothing of my own initiative. Only what I see the Father doing or I hear from the Father. If Jesus in us never did anything of His own initiative, what right do I have to do anything of my own initiative? And if I'm going to be a husband, a father, a grandparent, a teacher, a leader here, whatever, I better come to know the heart of God. Because when things are good, hallelujah. When things are going rough, hallelujah. Because it's not me, but it's the Christ in me. And I cast all my care upon Him because He cares for you. But I got to obey 5:6 before I do 1 Peter 5:7, which is casting. I've got to humble myself in the sight of the Lord and He will exalt me at due time. And you know what that is? That's getting on your face before the Lord. You take anything else I've said and just forget it. I will tell you this. The greatest thing that you can do for Crooked Creek Baptist Church and your family is to be a man of prayer. And you come tomorrow, you find yourself, because I know today at 3 o'clock, Georgia's going to be playing Tennessee. And that's going to be a discussion probably tomorrow, sometime, somewhere, someplace. And it's okay. I don't have a dog in that fight. I really don't, because I'm sorry. I'm, uh, I'm not a fan of either. And it's okay to talk about football. It's okay to talk about your work. But when's the last time you just got alone with Jesus? You just poured your heart out to Him. You shared all your burdens with Him. And then and here's something we do. We pray so often as if it's a one-way conversation. When you go get alone with the Lord, here's what you do. You say, Lord, I just want to praise You and thank You for who You are. And you just begin to praise Him, whatever, and then just sit still and let Him talk to you. And Lord, right now, my wife and I are getting ready to make a major decision, and I don't know what You want. So what's on Your mind, Jesus? And then you be still. Be still and know that I am God. Matthew 11, again, learn of Me. Somebody's got to be teaching. So somebody's got to be listening. And I'm convinced a lot of times we may be praying, but we're not hearing His voice because we ain't got time. I got to get my agenda out there. And I'm preaching to myself too, man. My dad, I'll say in these terms, I'd give anything to see my dad again. I will in glory. My dad was a preacher. My dad was a carpenter. And he could build podiums just like Brother Dan can. He was a finished man. He knew how to do that. Let me tell you what I remember about my dad. I don't remember about my dad's preaching, his sermons. I do. But it's not the thing that stands out. I remember as a boy walking in and seeing my dad on his knees at his desk, weeping in prayer for his lost family members, for his son, calling out my name before the throne, my mom and others. I'll put it in these terms, and I mean it. I'd give anything to see my dad on his knees again. Because he knew the heart of God. He knew what it was. And one of his favorite songs was, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you sue for loving favor?" The next phrase went out of my mind. But anyway, and then, "Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night to day. So when life becomes so dreary, don't forget to pray." Lord, I thank You for these men. Lord, I confess in my own life how much I need to be a man of prayer because the man of prayer lives in me. Lord, the greatest encouragement over the years that I've found, even as a boy praying with those preachers gathered around a fire or out in the grape arbor, was just the joy of calling out Your name and sharing every care and burden and just watching You answer according to Your will. Thank You for the time of prayer with Brother Brinson and Sister Joanna this morning. Thank You for the time of prayer with Denise today. And thank You for these men. I pray, Lord, that even as the disciples said, teach us to pray. To pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands in praise and submission without wrath and doubting. You are able. You are faithful. It's Your work. It's not us. So help us to tap in, know Your heart, to enjoy the journey. May we be encouragers in Christ. In Jesus' name. And all the men said, amen. Thank you for listening.